Hit three.
Broadcasting live from our new state-of-the-art studio in downtown Chicago, it's Radio DePaul Sports, the student voice of your DePaul Blue Demons.
That was more bench chatter. Whew, that kind of hurt. Jeez, that kind of hurt my little sternum there. Okay. Welcome back to Bench Chatter, the Friday edition of the show that primarily airs for a little more than an hour on Thursday. My name is Brandon Bowens. We're doing something special here in studio today. I've got a video camera set up. This is more just to see the capabilities of the station. The video camera has been in our station for, like, years now, and we just wanted to see what it could do. Granted, don't expect this for every single show. This is just something to show that we can do something, and that we should do something, and we should utilize it, but we don't. So, I just wanted to see if we could do it. But, anyways, thank you guys for joining me on this Friday. Again, Friday editions generally are shorter than before. Now, if you were able to tune in to the show yesterday, then I stated that the show probably wasn't going to happen today. That's a funny story. All right, so I got to go back up to Wednesday in order to kind of explain what happened. So I take a sports content course in where we make sports content. And one of our assignments is to make like a documentary-style video, kind of highlighting a day, a week, or something like that. So I decided to highlight and do a practice. I've never played Australian rules football, but that's I follow the Chicago Swans, which is an Australian rules football team in Chicago. And if you're interested in playing some Australian rules football, they're always looking for members. But because of that, I've never played it before. I've never really gone into the Waveland softball fields, but I decided, hey, let's go ahead and play a match. You know, let's go ahead and join practice because, you know, I've seen how they do it, so I'm well aware of how to play it. So I think I have a pretty good understanding of what I'm supposed to do. And I won't say I did terrible. I wasn't, like, the greatest player out there, but, I mean, like, I think I did terrible. That being said, we were doing this box drill, and at some point, I, like, overslid. Because, like, the Waveland softball fields, they aren't, it's a terrible condition field. Which I understand now why they were like, oh, you probably want cleats. Because cleats dig into the ground. And for an uneven, like, dirt field like that, you're going to want cleats. I just had these, I'm showing, oh, I don't know if I can lift my, oh, I don't know if I can, I don't know what to do. I'm wearing these shoes, the exact shoes that I wore at practice. I'm wearing them right now. But I was wearing these, and at some point, there was, like, a clump in where, like, there was just dirt, like, loose dirt. And I was running, and I was trying to get the ball, and I missed it, and I overslid. And I knew, like, at that moment, oh, I rolled up my ankle, something bad. So, obviously, Wednesday, but, you know, Wednesday, I was hoping, okay, take a couple of ibuprofen, and, like, should be good. Thursday, complete pain in my high ankle. Just complete pain. And, you know, I try to walk it off. Like, I have a limp now because there's just so much pain on it. Yeah, just like now as I try to put on the shoe. But, you know, I try to power through Thursday's show. But I went to urgent care yesterday, and turns out I have high ankle sprain. So I didn't feel like going all the way to LPC because I'd have to walk 6 or 7 minutes to the red stop, then I have to find a place, and I can't, like, stand on my ankle for long, or else, like, pain will shoot down my leg. And then, then make the 5-minute walk to Arts and Letters, and then sit down for 3 hours and do the whole process going back. But I also need to make sure I'm like, I can walk relatively decently, because I still got to make it to class for next week or so. So that's kind of why I'm doing the show today instead of not doing the show. That it took 4 minutes to explain that story, which not great at telling stories and stuff like that. But that's basically why I'm doing the show today. There's not a ton of like baseball stories out today. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the Friday edition generally is like a quieter day. But why don't we tell some stories and some news here today? Some Cubs news today. It actually just came down today. Nico Hoerner has been reinstated off the IL, which means that Edwin Rios has been recalled from Iowa. I'm sorry. Let me try to retroact that. So Nico Hoerner has been reinstated off the IL as Cody Bellinger has been put onto the IL with left knee contusion. Mike Tatchman, I believe he's an outfielder. Yes, he is an outfielder, because I believe he was with the Mariners at one point, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. I might be thinking of another Tatchman, but he was with the Rockies, he was with the Yankees, and he was with the Giants most recently. But he was called up. He's going to be from Iowa. Also, Edwin Rios has been called up as well. Rios, I believe, was taken down when Morrell came up. You'll have Keegan Thompson. He's going to be optioned out to Iowa. And then Eric Hosmer has been designated for assignment. I don't know how Hosmer's season has gone thus far. I know he was taking a couple reps at first base, like, very early on the season, but I have no idea how he's gone on so far. So this season so far, he's hitting .234 with 2 home runs, 14 RBIs, and 94 at-bats, 22 hits, an OPS plus of 67, which is 33% below average. A negative WAR of 0.04. He hasn't played much. He hasn't had too much success in the past previous several games. 2-4. I'm doing a quick map here. 4-10-14. 2-for-14 with 1 RBI, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts rather, and 2 ground out double plays. This might be the end of Hosmer. I mean, I think he signed a contract for like one year, like a veteran's minimum contract, $720,000 contract. So this is probably it for, I have a feeling like it might be it for Hosmer. Now granted, with Mervis now up, with Mancini, I don't know if Mancini, I'm not entirely certain how Trey Mancini is doing. Trey Mancini, because he signed a 2-year contract, so you probably don't want to move him down for like $7 million a year. How is Mancini doing? Mancini is, well, they're not going to tell me, but he's doing slightly better. 262 with an OPS of 688, 34 hits, 3 home runs, 16 RBIs, and 130. Plate appearances. He also has a worse negative WAR, but I think the fact that he can play outfield, first base, and doesn't hit makes him a little bit more viable than Hosmer, who can strictly only play first base. And again, the average is a little bit higher. His OPS is a little bit higher. And I guess technically the last game that he played, he did go 2-for-5, so I guess that's something. But yeah, Horner's back, which gives some depth to the infield, definitely, and a little bit of outfield depth. He's more of a utility guy. I think the Cubs have, like, Morrell can be kind of a utility guy. Hoerner can be a little bit of a utility guy. Marigold, I think, can also be kind of an infield utility guy. Like, I think Morel and Marigold are like the super utility, and then like Marigold is like the infield utility guy, because I think he could play short and third as well as playing second. So they got some like flexibility. I think Mervis can play third as well. There's a lot of flexibility with the Cubs out there. Other baseball news that we probably need to go over as well. Hendricks, I think I mentioned yesterday, but Hendricks is pretty close. The plan looks like he was going to return on Monday. It's looking more and more like that might not be the case. It might be a little bit later in the week. So looking at the White Sox schedule, I believe that would mean the 22nd is a Monday. So I think he might arrive in time for a series against the Guardians. That's what I'm guessing. If I can look at the schedule here. Yeah, so it's going to be a three-game set against... He's going to be here next week. Either he's going to be midway through the Guardian series, or he's going to be early on in the Tiger series. But it's looking like he's going to be here next week. He's had four rehab assignment games. And while his first couple of appearances weren't great, he's been doing better. So he should be returning this week sometime around. He might not get like the closing job immediately after. He might be put into some low leverage situations early on, but it's good to see that he's back. Look, beating stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is still a very lengthy task, so that's good to see that he's back on the up and up, rather. Jose Altuve has been activated from the IL. He is set for his season debut. He had surgery in March after breaking his right thumb during the World Baseball Classic. He was expected that he would miss 8 weeks, and then 8 weeks or a few weeks later, he's back. The Houston Astros, they made like some sort of hype video here. I'm going to go ahead and play it for your guys' pleasure. This is on via the Houston Astros Twitter page.
You keep hearing you're ahead of schedule. Do you think you're ahead of schedule?
I'm waking up every day and coming here to do everything I can to come back as soon as possible.
We love him, the town loves him, and this guy's a ball player.
Jose Altuve up on the train track. Altuve the turn, double play. Here comes Altuve. What a play by Jose Altuve. Deep to left field. This game starts with a home run. Throw to first. It's in time.
Altuve changes the complete dynamics of that whole lineup.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see how he does. I don't know. Did they make a move to kind of fill that in? No. But he completed his rehab assignment. The numbers don't look great. He's 2-for-12 with 4 strikeouts in 5 games. But granted, I don't know if that matters. Like, really, you're just trying to get someone back in, like, baseball shape. And I think that might be why they're bringing him up now. That's my guess. Not 100% certain, but that's my guess on why they're bringing him up now and not waiting for him to get there. Like, he's back in baseball shape. His defense is fine, so he's going to be back up there. And I think for the Astros, this is huge, huge news, seeing as you lost one of your starting pitchers to Tommy John, and you're fighting for first place, you're trying to overtake Texas, having Altuve's defense is important. Now, I don't know who's been playing second base for the Astros. Let's see if I can find that. Who's been playing second base for the Astros? You know what? Baseball Reference actually might be able to tell me a little bit more. So, Baseball Reference. Let's go with the teams here. Houston Astros. Games by position. Okay, here we go. So second base has mostly been handled by Mauricio Dubon, who's played 36 games. David Hensley has played 9. And then Rylan Bannon has played 1. But a 28-year-old from Honduras has been taking the majority of the reps this season. In his 39 games, majority playing at second base, he's hit .309 with a .723 OPS, an OPS plus of 98, which 100 is the average, so he's slightly below average, but still, for what you're trying to replace, that's still pretty good. A WAR of 1.3, he has 46 hits, 8 RBIs. I'm trying to see what other stats he has here. No home runs, but the 8 RBIs. That's pretty much it. He has played quite some time. He's played in Milwaukee, San Francisco, and Houston most recently. He played in 83 games last season. So, you know what? Good on him. I think he's handled that second base role really well for the Astros. And, I think he's going to be really good as just like a really good depth piece, you know, being that infield option for the Astros at second base and shortstop. And then I don't know who the center fielder is, because I feel like who plays center field for the Astros? That's a weird question to ask, but I don't know. I probably could have figured that out. It's Jake Myers. I was thinking back in my mind, it was Chaz McCormick, but it's Jake Myers that's played the majority of the games. Oh, no, I'm looking at left field. I'm sorry. Kyle Tucker, that's the guy. Kyle Tucker has played the majority of games there. Now, Chaz McCormick has played 3 games in center field, but no, it's Kyle Tucker. Wait, what? Or maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. Hold on. No, I was looking at the right one. This is Jake Myers. It is Jake Myers. And I was right the first time. I don't love okay, there we go. I ordered right. So it is Jake Myers. I didn't like how Baseball Reference did it, but I now know that you can highlight things in Baseball Reference. So now I know for certain that Jake Myers, and I was right the first time, Jake Myers has played 35 games in center field. So he's probably good depth. He's probably good depth for the outfield as well. Mauricio is. Let's go ahead and take a break, and when we return, I'll talk about 2 stories, one from the Dodgers, one from the Mets, that I feel like we should probably talk about. We'll see. So stay tuned.
Biking in Chicago is more than just a mode of transportation. It's a lifestyle. It's convenient, affordable, and with 13,000 bike racks, parking is never a problem. But with every reward comes a sidecar of risk. In Chicago, over 1,700 cyclists a year are killed or injured in bike accidents involving motor vehicles. Bike safety is simple. First, become familiar with Chicago bike laws. Know your hand signals and when to use them. Love your brain. Get a bike helmet that fits your noggin and deck it out with a headlamp and some reflective gear for riding at night. Bike at least 3 to 4 feet away from parked cars to avoid being struck by a car door being open. Motorists can do their part, too, by checking their side view mirrors for bike traffic before exiting their vehicle. Most importantly, remember that we're sharing the road. Looking out for both ourselves and each other is the only way to keep Chicago's roads safe, no matter what your wheels look like. For more information on bike safety in Chicago, visit www.chicagobikes.org. This public service announcement was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
And we're back with Ben Shatter. Let's talk about the Mets first, because there's a certain catcher that's going to be brought up to the ranks today. I don't know what that was. There was a little bit of a nice little hitch there. But, where is it? I just saw him. There you go. Gary Sanchez, who signed a minor league. There it goes again. There's a little boom. Like the, like I'm exploding mic or something like that. I don't know what's going on. But anyways, Gary Sanchez, who most recently played with the Twins, signed a minor league contract with the Giants. Then he opted out of the contract, it's a minor league contract, if he wasn't brought up to the minors by a certain point, and obviously he wasn't brought up, so he terminated it. He signed with the Mets May 9th. He reportedly could have terminated the deal if he wasn't brought up to the majors by Friday. And so the Mets are bringing him up with multiple catchers.
At Amica, we know the most
Christ, that's what I was hearing earlier. I guess I still had the kiosk up, and that's what I was hearing earlier. Okay, so that makes sense. But Sanchez is a two-time All-Star. He's hit 154 home runs. Last season was 128 games played. He slashed a line of 205, 282, and 377. And doing quick math in my head, that makes his OPS 659, which isn't great. It's not great, especially with a 205 average. 16 home runs and 61 RBIs, which isn't great. His defense has notably been great. His efforts behind the plate isn't great as well. But with Omar Narváez injured, it was a left calf injury, and then Francisco Alvarez may happen to be called up, who's one of the Mets' better prospects. And both him and Thomas Nita have combined to hit 178 with 4 home runs and 10 RBI since then. Nita hasn't played since May 5th, and he has a dry eye syndrome. They called up Michael Perez. He's been 4-for-7 through 2 games right now. They're currently in 3rd place. I guess they need a spark somewhere or another. I don't know if Sanchez is that guy, but we shall see. Sometimes this is where you know where a major league career kind of ends, you know? Like, the Twins, like, being traded to the Twins, he didn't get off to the start that he wanted to. Him and Gio Urshela being traded from the Yankees, he didn't get off the start there, you know? Him not being, like, not doing enough, like, Giants needed a catcher, and he's not doing enough to get promoted to catcher, or, like, to be the catcher in a major league roster. It was the Giants. If he falters here, who knows? This might be the end of his career. He's 30, what? He's 33, I think. He's 30. So he's still young. So someone will still probably take a chance on him. Maybe. But in terms of starting, this might be it. This might be his last chance to see what he does. So obviously, we shall see what happens there. And finally, this story is kind of weird. Okay, so obviously Los Angeles has a pride night of sorts. They have a pride night. They've had it every year at least since I remember, since at least 2015. No, maybe even earlier. Maybe even later. Maybe like, let's be safe and let's say 2017. So I can probably guarantee that I could probably find it in like 2018, 2019. So let's just say 2017. So they've had a Pride Night, I don't know, what was I just saying? I don't know where I was going with that. I have no idea what I just said. But I've had a Pride Night, and they invite various groups for their Pride Night. It's basically a game. It's generally in June, because that's when Pride Month is, which I think it's been recent. I don't know how recent ago that was, but, like, apparently, according to my calendar, that's Pride Month. June is Pride Month. My day is the second day in Pride Month. I don't know if I follow anything. I guess if I have to be anything, it's curious than anything, more than anything else. I don't really, like, flow either one way or the other. I just curious. Curious. But anyways, the Dodgers have disinvited an LGBTQIA plus group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the team's annual Pride Night after opposition from conservative Catholic groups. Given the strong feelings of people who have been offended by the sisters' inclusion in their evening, and in an effort not to distract from the great beliefs that we have seen over the years of Pride Night, we are deciding to remove them from this year's group of honorees. Now, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence first appeared in San Francisco in 1979 in the Castro District in a form of three men wearing nude outfits, a whimsical protest over local issues for their group. Over the decade, it has grown to be like several loosely organized chapters around the world that engage in charitable and protest work, which is probably why they're protesting stuff like that. They say that we use humor and irreverent wit to expose the forces of bigotry, complacency, and guilt that chain the human spirit. That's according to the group's website. Opponents urge the Dodgers to retract their decision to honor the group on the grounds that it mocks the Catholic faith, probably because they dress as nuns, and I don't know, like, at least based on, like, my knowledge of, like, the Catholic faith and stuff like that, if you're, like, a hardcore Catholic, it makes sense. But, like, 99% of the time, like, the nuns are they're Catholic, but, I mean, like, how many Catholic churches still have nuns? Like, I've been to a Catholic church as a guest, mind you, and I don't see that being in, like, I don't think modern Catholic churches really focus on the nuns. Maybe that's a little bit of, like, my one experience in a Catholic church, and I don't really have that, like, repertoire to say, like, oh, this doesn't happen. But based on my experience, I don't think that's a thing. Nuns aren't really a thing anymore. But it got to the point that Senator Marco Rubio, great old Marco Rubio, had written a letter to Commissioner Rod Manfred about the sisters dressed in lewd imitations of nuns. Do you believe that the Los Angeles Dodgers are being inclusive and welcoming to everyone by giving an award to a group of gay and transgender drag performers that intentionally mock and degrade Christians, and not only Christians, but nuns? Like, that matters. Who devote their lives to serving others, the Florida Republican wrote. First of all, I think I've kind of mentioned that too. I don't think it really matters that they're, like, dressed in nuns. Like, you could have just not taken out. Because when you make that point that, yeah, not only Christians, but nuns, like, oh my God. Like, I don't, like, why? I'm trying to gather my thoughts. Cause I'm just so shocked that this is actually what was written by an actual U.S. congressman and stuff like that. Like, at first, it means, like, it feels like nuns are in this, like, special class of Christians, which I guess they technically are, but, like you're upset more. Like, I don't think they're attacking Christians by attacking nuns, at least in my opinion. And this is my opinion. It's strictly my opinion. I want to make that clear. I'm in a Catholic school, all right? I don't practice Catholic faith, so I don't know how a lot of this works, okay? I'm basing everything on a one experience I had when I was, like, 14, all right? And I'm basing everything on what I know on the limited knowledge of the Catholic faith and stuff like that, but just... Well, here's what Marco Rubio could have said, all right? Do you believe that the Los Angeles Dodgers are being inclusive and welcome to everyone by giving an award to a group of gay and transgender drag performers that intentionally mock and degrade Christians? Period. You could even include the line, who devote their lives in serving others. You could have even worded it as saying like something like, by giving an award to a group of gay and transgender drag performers that intentionally mock and degrade Christians, who mock and degrade a group of Christians that devote their lives to serving others. You didn't have to be specific. That whole qualifier is what irritates me. Because nuns are just as much Christians as Christians are. Does that make sense? I don't think I'm being precise with it, but I think I'm making some sort of sense here. That just irks me. Now, moving on, because I could go on for like a good 15 minutes, because that's just who I am. The Sister of Perpetual Indulgence said the group wasn't anti-Catholic, and members were offended and outraged by the Dodgers' decision. The Dodgers have capitulated in response to hateful and misleading information from people outside the community. LA Pride, which organizes an annual parade and festival, says that they were very disappointed in the Dodgers' decision. Giving a statement saying, as a result and a solidarity with our community, LA Pride will not be participating in Dodgers Pride Night event. Now, that does have me questioning Dodgers Pride Night. Let's see who's still on board here. Let's see, there's a drone show. They've teamed up with our longtime community nonprofit, LA Pride, to host the event. Now, if they're not participating, I don't know how this night goes on. I don't know how this night goes on. Because if LA Pride, that's a big group. That's a big group they're parting with. If they're saying, no, we're not going to participate with this anymore, we're pulling our support away. I don't know how this night goes on. Can you still, I guess you could still have a Pride night and just, like, give away the uniforms and stuff like that. And they have a drone show, so I mean, I guess if you're going to take away the Pride night, you got a drone show. Drone show, let's go. Freaking ask questions here. Oh, this is ticket pack questions, stuff like that. But I love the fact that like literally it's a special event ticket. It's on June 16th against the San Francisco Giants. Tickets to the game, gets an exclusive LGBTQ+ jersey. Be around to stick away for a drone show. I just love it. Like if you just remove it, everything, it's still a pretty good night. It's still a pretty good night because you get a drone show. And frankly, I've never flown a drone before, so I mean, all the power to the Dodgers, I guess. I don't know, it's going to be a messy June 16th, and I have a feeling that the Dodgers will probably backtrack on it somehow, because they need LA Pride to, like, make this happen. I don't think the Dodgers are really going to go out their way and try to negotiate or navigate an actual Pride event by themselves. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah. And I think that will do it for this day's episode of Bench Chatter. Again, this is a very short thing and stuff like that. I'm trying to get myself in the mindset. 4 overtimes, Hurricanes, and you couldn't come away with a win. So come on, firing on all cylinders in game 2. Come on, let's do it. Other than that, just some other random news. Jim Brown is dead as well. I'm sure this will be talked about on someone's bench chat or someone's show coming up in the next couple of days. But yeah, that's going on. Softball regionals are going on right now for the NCAA. That's something else. And then, obviously, let's just talk about quickly games. I spoke on them Thursday, but here are all the games that are going on. D-backs at Pirates, Yankees at Reds, Brewers at Rays, Tigers at Nationals, Cubs at Phillies, Orioles at Blue Jays, the Battle of the Birds, Guardians at Mets, Mariners at Braves, Rockies at Rangers, Athletics at Astros, Royals at White Sox, Dodgers at Cardinals, what are names? Twins at Angels, Red Sox at Padres, and the late game Marlins at Giants. And then you have a whole slate of games going on tomorrow. You got games like Royals at White Sox. That's the early game, going as late as 10:10 Eastern with Red Sox at Padres. So yeah, I'm trying to see if there's some interesting matchups. Probables, at least. You've got at the 4:05 Eastern, you have D-backs at Pirates. You have Mitch Keller, who's been a really interesting pitcher. He's twenty-seven years old. He said, I've chose him as my NL Cy Young winner, or like candidate as well. So he's probably interesting in there. Let's see, any other like really good games going on? What's the probables? I think the Guardians. Yeah, I think the Guardians at Mets might be a good series to keep an eye on. I mean, you got Cal Quantrill and Carlos Carrasco. They'll be taking the mump today. You got Matt Scherzer and Tanner Beattie, who it's young. He's 24 years old. He's 1-for-1 with a 3.22 ERA. He made his first start. How many starts did he make? He made 4 starts. He was called up relatively early on in the season. So, you know, that might be a match that you want to look at. I think that's pretty much it. Not a ton of, like, really sexy matchups, but still, a good game of baseball to be looking forward to. Again, next week, I won't be here whatsoever. I am going to be on assignment doing the first portion of a project that I've been looking forward to for the majority of the past, like, month. Well, since spring quarter started. So I'm looking forward to that. But yes, that's going to wrap it up here, honestly. So I will see you guys next Thursday for the show. And then, oh no, I can still do a show next Thursday. I can do a show next Thursday and next Friday. But I will see you guys then. Look towards the blogs, because I might be posting something there. So until then, I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.